up, though? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Hi.
Oh my God. We here.
Yes, we're here.
We are on the air.
Yes, we are.
We are live. Is this considered live? Yeah, we live. Yeah, we're live.
Yeah.
In front of a studio audience.
Right.
Welcome to the Cara Burnett Show. We're going to do some skits today. We're going to make you laugh, ladies and gentlemen. So grab your popcorn, grab your bourbon, and let's go. That was animated.
Yeah.
Everything gonna juggle some balls.
No. Not at all.
What up, though, y'all? You're listening to or watching What Works For Us.
What Works For Us.
All Black.
All Queer.
Oh, my God. It's Black History Month. I know for Pride, that queer better have a little bit more oomph to it. Okay, I need you to be all the rainbows. I need all the color flags. I need to feel your excitement.
Pride Month?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Because that queer, queer. It was real. You know, are you ashamed of your identity?
Excuse me? No.
What? That's a legitimate question.
Why would I be a part of a queer podcast if I was ashamed of my identity? That doesn't make sense.
You could have like one of them agendas, you know, like those self-hating people. talking to the audience so you can spew your thoughts and your opinion. You try to make us drink the Kool-Aid or something like that. Who knows?
No, but I don't think so. But go off.
You know, I was thinking about that before our check-in about the Kool-Aid, how he really got all of Black people to drink Kool-Aid to kill themselves. And I was just thinking, like, Kool-Aid, that is so, like, I can't even describe the words that you got all of us to kill ourselves drinking Kool-Aid. That's wild when you really think about it. That's why I can't drink Kool-Aid, especially grape Kool-Aid. I love it, but every time I drink it, I think about that damn, what was that man's name? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember, but I remember. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, the Kool-Aid. Well, I guess time for check-in.
Yes, it is.
You wanna go first? Y'all.
If you're watching, I'll go first. If you're watching us on YouTube, which... We just got our channel back. Well, we didn't really lose our channel. I lost the account that I used to actually sign up with. So yeah, that's my check-in this week. I was going back and forth with Google or YouTube for almost 2 weeks. And yeah, I heard no like twice, but persistence, that's why you have to keep going and be persistent when it comes to stuff like that. Don't take no as the final answer the first time. Go back and try it again. Because, yeah, when I talked to ChatGPT about it, oh, well, yeah, we're sorry. You pretty much probably lost your account. There's nothing you can do. But I'll tell you what to do next. And I'm like, you know what? Now let me try again and use – I just had to redo exactly what – ChatGPT told me to do, because the first time I didn't do exactly. This time I did exactly what it told me to do. I said exactly what it told me to say the first time. Yeah, and then I got my account back. And our channel's up. There's 2 videos up. And, you know, there'll be more coming up. We'll have a lot of content. We have a lot of content, period. But, yeah, so that's part of my check-in. I actually celebrated my birthday this past weekend, even though my birthday was a week before. But I celebrated this past weekend on Valentine's Day. And I had a good time. It was nice being back outside. I hadn't seen anybody since last year. So it was just nice being outside and back in the thick of things. Yeah, so it was cool. The weather was oh my gosh, the weather. Weather was so good. It's supposed to go into the 90s in a couple of weeks. I'm like, it's too early for that. It's like, we literally gonna get a few weeks of spring weather and we just about to go right straight to hell. And I guess it's just, I guess it's matching what the country is at right now. It's just on fire. So we got to be on fire too. Considering this, especially considering the state that we're in. That's a whole different talk show topic. Yeah, but that's pretty much it for me. I'm going back into hibernation. Tremaine, shout out to Tremaine. Diva, my sister, as I call her. She's having her next Fish Fry June 13th. It's all white because it's the 10th year, I guess, of it. So I'm just going to remember that because since I've been hibernation, that's like, okay, that's like my date. Like, okay, that'd be a perfect time to come like back outside. But it's gonna be weird.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I know, right?
June.
That's the perfect time for me to come back out. But all this stuff, that it's a whole bunch of stuff happening for there's a whole bunch of stuff coming up that's happening, period. It's like end of the month, there's a bunch of stuff happening. Then it's gonna be South by. That's gonna be a whole different thing. It's just gonna be weird looking at it from the other side of the lens, like, oh wow, it's all this stuff going on, and you know, who knows, Mr. Telltale's probably gonna make his way outside, and then they probably gonna see some type of celebrity or something like that, and I'm just gonna miss everything, but it's okay. It is what it is. So I'm back in hibernation, and that's pretty much it. I've said everything else. I don't want to sound like a broken record. That's really honestly my check-in. That's it for me.
Okay, that's a long time, Emerson. But I know I said I was going to join you in hibernation, but I don't know
believe you anyway. When you start my joining,
I know, right? I'm doing better. I'm a try, whatever. But okay, June, I got to wrap my head.
I do birthdays.
That.
Well, I mean, we don't always match when it comes to going out anyway. We be like on different accords.
I mean, our during the day. 5 months, four, we ain't never went. We don't go. I mean, you have went that long, but that's a very long, how can I put it, planned time to be away, like June. But I guess it'll be here in a minute because March is next week, right?
And so, right, time is going by so fast because it's already, Aquarius season is already over. So, like, yeah. it's time is going by fast. But, I mean, it's not definite because, if a birthday comes up or something, I'll come back out. I always show up for somebody's birthday. But that's it. But
I don't think there's no birthdays coming up for me. That I would be outside for.
Nils will be here.
Yeah, but I get that. Like, that's to me, I consider myself going to be back outside by May. But if, like you said, if I don't go outside at all, but I'm going to try. I just need a break. And I'm doing good. Like, you know, just I talked to Joe last night as to why I don't go to a lot of the events, and you know, they were kind of shocked. They was like, oh, okay, I knew the banter, but I didn't know the banter was real. I said, oh, it's very real for me. I told Emerson that it's very, very real. I just need to, you know, again, create that boundary space. And like, you know, I feel like going out, and I don't talk to Dakota or this, like, what are you talking about? I've been very careful on purpose, okay? So you're just going to have to read between the lines. It's kind of like, you know, if you know type of thing. I'll just leave it at that. But, and so I feel like that has worked in a sense, me being intentional of not necessarily being in that particular space at all times, or even create a distance when I'm in that space with them. I'm surprised our good sis Joe didn't know. I mean, he knew, but he didn't know. And so it was good to get that validation and clarity around that. But I'm glad you had a good time. You know, it was Body Rocks. What anniversary? 16th anniversary. So shout out to Body Rock. Shout out to Dawa. Shout out to Chi and Shaka for continuing the dance. And I guess I saw your message saying that that was you. You posted of you dance to talk about that was you after not being outside all weekend. Oh, right. hibernation. You was dropping it like it was hot.
Yeah, trying to keep it hot because if you don't use it, you lose it. So
okay. I guess for me, nothing's really big change. I know some stuff, you know, just some updates at work. Just know that the people who thought they were untouchable, right? I kind of gave y'all an update about that. They weren't untouchable. I guess my whole check-in is going to be, like, coded. If you know, you know. I guess because I'm dropping some tea, but I can't be too specific with the tea. I'm trying to, I can't be Tasha K about it, right? I can't, allegedly. Everything's allegedly.
You talking like your homegirl.
Who?
Tamar.
Girl, we're not even gonna get on Tamar what she said about Tawad. That lives rent free in my head. Everybody got a Tawad in their family. The drama. So yeah, those a couple people at work I told y'all was thought they were untouchable, but we stood up and things happened. We have some new leadership. I'm actually going into a new role. So I see what this contract looked like over the weekend. So that's exciting. I might be, you know, temporarily in an interim space doing some things for this organization. So that's exciting. It's also daunting. Yo, thank you. It's also daunting because it's just more work, you know, but it's a different kind of work because I don't have to do as much, but like we were talking about that today, like, and no matter what you do, right? Like, I don't care if it's nonprofit, what your own business, and well, your own business might be different if you're like a one man person, but any organization, the higher you go up, you might not do as much, but the responsibility level is like on bonkers. That's why people can get removed so easily, right? Like it's hard. Yeah. It's way easier to remove a vice president, a CEO, and all of that than it is somebody, you know, an entry-level employee, because if the entry-level employees just do their job, they good. But if the CEO don't make numbers, they can do their job, but if their job is, you know, they don't make the numbers, right? They don't, if the things that they were tasked to do, just the responsibility level, if something happened, the kitchen catch on fire, right? And more likely, the higher-ups are going to get it worse. And so that's why I always think about in nonprofit specifically, or even corporate, while like, oh, yes, I don't have to do as much, the responsibility level is higher. So and you know me, I'm all about rest is resistance, trying to, you know, keep my, you know, soft life era. So the idea of I don't need more stress, right? But so that's the only thing. But I'm excited. I'm excited about change. And just shout out to people. Shout out people using their voice, right? I'm looking at what's happening in Iran right now with them trying to overtake their government. You know, the women want to have freedom. They don't want to wear their hijabs. They want to practice the religion they want to practice. They want democracy or whatever they want, right? I don't want to speak for them. But they're standing up for themselves. People protesting all, like, protests and blackouts and walkouts, that stuff works, right? That's the fundamental nonviolent way to change stuff. And we know it works. And I'm living proof that even at your own job, it can work, right? Like, we ain't even got to think about foreign relations. So, if you know, if something ain't right, don't just be settling, y'all, because y'all scared, right? You can't be scared. You know, you don't just let nobody mistreat you, no job mistreat you. Emerson, you said it all the time. People, you know, go crazy and go old trying to work for the man and be all burnt out and being disrespected and mistreated and overworked for a company that you're replaceable for. So stand up for your rights. Stand up for your freedom. Stand up and don't be a part of the popcorn community. That we all got to think alike. We do not all have to think alike. We don't all have the same views and values. So whatever you believe in, stand up for it. So that's my spiel. That's my check-in. Protest, blackout, walkout, fight, fight, fight. That's you too, Evanston. Fight for your right to party.
Okay.
Wasn't that a song in the 90s?
I don't.
You got to fight. Remember. With the 80s, maybe.
Maybe it was the 80s, but I should know that one too. I don't remember that one. Well, Mrs. Telltales forgot to mention something kind of big. You got an award yesterday. Would you like to tell everybody about what the award was that you got?
It was, let me say this. I posted it on Instagram. It was the first time I was actually shocked. I did not expect that. I did not know. I thought at most I was there to judge. Then I found out I wasn't there to judge. I was like, oh, maybe he just wanted us to dress up to keep the ambiance of of the event, right? Like, more people you tell to dress up, more people to dress up and look nice. And it'll give that, pageant feel.
Right.
And then I'm sitting there getting fucked up, right? I'm talking to Mozzie at the bar getting wasted. And Mozzie like, you should put your jacket on. I was like, why would I put my jacket on? It's hot. And then he was like, no, you should put your jacket on. I ain't seen you in your jacket all night. So I'm thinking he's tricking me to put my jacket on. Then I'm hearing Joe on a microphone. And then I'm like, bitch, is he talking about me? Like, it was so random.
Oh, wow.
And so it was a Black Excellent Leadership Award from Pride in Black, ATX. Last night they had their first Mrs. and Mr. Austin Black Pride. Congratulations to the newly crowned Mr. and Miss Austin Black Pride. They looked amazing. And then before the crowning, he honored me with an award and totally surprised me. So just shout out to Diamond and Joe, especially Joe. I love me some Joe. I've never been surprised before. So that's what it, and I was full, bitch. I was lit. And so I was like, girl, I'm all about to bite. I was like, I'm about to cry. Because I was really thrown. So like, I was like on my fifth drink by that time. And I was like, girl, I'm glad. Woo, okay, let me pull it together. Okay. Damn. So it was real dramatic, but it was cute. So yeah. I'm excited. I felt honored.
And congratulations again.
Oh, thank you. So what's popping today? It was something that I saw. I know we had a topic today, but it was something I wanted to bring up. My gosh. And I could not. Oh, my gosh. We got to talk about America's Next Top Model. We just can't brush over that because it like literally when I was on my phone 5 minutes ago, I saw Miss Jay and Nigel on the Sherry Shepherd show. I'm just like, these bitches are on a whole. You would have thought that it was a fucking episode, like a new pilot show or something, not a documentary. I'm like, why are they on a promo tour for a tell-all documentary about them? And I think this is one of the reasons why it's kind of like, I'm looking at it from all perspectives because I saw Eva was on Good Morning Today show this morning. So, baby, this Tyra, this America's Next Top Model, baby, is revitalizing careers, baby. To be this one three-part documentary on Netflix is like, it is the talk of the town. It really is. But the thing is, my only gripe with that is Tyra, right? I'm not saying she shouldn't get the flack, but I just don't understand why she's the only one getting the flack. Like, how are they able to get on the show to talk about Tyra when they was on the damn show for 18 years. You just as bad as she is. Like, how can you not, and especially J. Manuel, because on the documentary, he was like, you know, after the 10th season, I looked around and I realized, and I decided I didn't want to be here. And I, you know, was so scared of Tyra. So I emailed Tyra and I didn't get a response. And then legal, I got a letter from my lawyer saying that I had to finish out the season. And I got on set and Tyra wasn't talking to me. We used to lay in the bed, like, give me this whole story. This oh my goodness, white woman of color story. Like, this victimized story, right? Like, she just Mother Teresa, you know, and Tyra Banks is motherfucking, you know, Saddam Hussein or something. Like, you just, you know. And this is the part that cracked me up. So, yeah, then they told me I had to finish out the season. We got on set. And, you know, then me and she had spoke to me, but then she turned around and said, so what do you feel about that, Jay? And I was like, oh, and that was the beginning of us are working, you know, we were playing a role. We started, it wasn't real, we were playing a role. And so the whole time he said it, I'm like, okay, so he must have left during the 11th season. Bitch, he stayed on there 9 more seasons. So it's like, or 8 more seasons. It's like, so you knew it was bad. You wanted to leave the 10th. They made you stay to finish out the 10th, and you stayed 8 more seasons.
Girl.
Knowing what you, how you felt. You just as guilty. Like, I don't get it. I don't get why Tyra is just getting crucified so much. Like, the rape stuff, the sexual assault stuff, rather. The what was it they were talking about? Go ahead, Evan. What's your response? Some of this stuff, I didn't know they were doing that. Doing, like, her father got killed, and they did a photo shoot reenacting. Like, that was wrong. I think it's funny, though. I'm sorry. I think it's funny, y'all. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I didn't watch the documentary. I'm not going to watch it because I just hate, when I get turned off when people get on a bandwagon and be trying to be a part of the Get Fresh crew, I'm immediately turned off. Immediately, I want no parts of it. I'm going to fly up in the sky like an eagle and watch down from bird's eye view of everybody else talking all this shit. And I'm just going to be up there flying around like, I don't know what's going on. Mind you, I watched America's Next Top Model faithfully. So at one point, I fell off like most people did, but I watched it for a long time. The SA situation, that's horrible. I remember that episode. I remember when she called her man, and you would have thought he told her that his mama died. Like, I remember how he responded. But besides that, even her being in that situation, it's horrible. I don't want to make light of it. But I don't, as far as like, yeah, this hate train for Tyra, I'm just like, a lot of that, y'all don't like her, for one. And I feel like another part, I mean, I guess I'm just looking at it from a different point of view. Y'all want to pick apart this show that was talking about these pretty much beautiful women. Tyra's beautiful. She had these beautiful women on the show. They were all skinny and fat, even though they was calling them fat. Like, they was calling people like Takara fat, but Takara's beautiful and thick. And you know what I'm saying? Some of these girls wish they was, you know, look like Takara. So I just feel like it's easy for them to hate that because it was something a lot of people just couldn't identify with. They didn't fit that. They looked at that as like, oh, I would never be that, or that's not something I would be. I can do that. So now it's, oh yeah, you know, fuck them. But you know, y'all don't say that about Mona Scott Young. Y'all don't say that about what's his name, Louis, or whatever the guy who owns Zeus Network. Cause y'all want a baddie chain. Y'all want to be on Love and Hip Hop. Y'all don't care all about. Jocelyn is doing her own version of a documentary, like that documentary. She's doing her own version of it. She's interviewing herself and everything, and she's telling some tea. And y'all not saying, she's saying they pretty much encouraged Stevie to harass her. She told him to stop. Then they knew about her drug use, and they didn't really stop it. They didn't care. But y'all don't care nothing about that or Mona Scott Young. There's no outrage for that. But as soon as a beautiful woman like Tyra Banks, that y'all, you know, that I just think nobody really ever connected with, because I mean, Tyra was, she was the definition of 90s fine. Like, she was definitely one of those girls. You know what I'm saying? And she still is beautiful. So, I mean, girl, it's unfortunate some of that stuff happened. I shout out to Eva. You know, she getting some, I'm not going to be talking about Eva, but you know, shout out, she gets some, you know, she gets to get interviews talking about it. You know, I guess that works for her.
She definitely shout out to Tyra, though.
No, she didn't say nothing negative. No, I'm just my thing with Eva is something totally different. Well, right, yeah, it was a competition. No, she didn't have anything. I'm here for Eva. She didn't have nothing negative to say. All the stuff that's going on with Mrs. J and J Manuel and all that kind of stuff, that was kind of funny to see in the clips. But it's unfortunate what happened with Mrs. J. But you know, J Manuel said that he's able to get out of his chair now, and he's hoping he's gonna be able to start walking again. So, did I do that? What happened? Well, I guess it don't matter. Anywho, so shout out to... Oh, wait. Hold on. Because I don't know why. You shouldn't be in there where they say you are. Oh, wait. Maybe I have to... Yep.
I'm back in the recording. I'm back. First of all, y'all, because we're going to keep that in. It has been, I don't know, I've been off all day today as far as technical. I had to sneeze, so I meant to push the mute button, but I pushed the hang up.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been doing stuff all, this has been a rough recording for me, but I am dedicated to make sure this
happens. Yeah, definitely. You're definitely dedicated. But
I can't believe I did that.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, I thought I did something because I'm talking with my hands, but I'm not touching anything. So I'm like, well, I didn't touch nothing, so I know I didn't do anything. But anywho, yeah, that documentary, I mean, I see what the NS is talking about. Everybody's doing think pieces about it. I think it's
in shambles. And my thing is too, right? Tyra always came off as a bitch, right? Like, I think all supermodels are probably bitches in some regard. Like, no shade. I think the industry requires that of you. And when I say bitch, I mean, like, that you feel like you the shit, you the baddest bitch that ever walked the grace of this earth. And then for her to be an executive producer, her to be a boss, for her to do all that, you know she had to be fierce, right? And so I never get the sense that they're trying to make it like Tyra is this villain, but like, yeah. And I don't, like, okay. You know, it's like, I don't get it. Like, I don't think, is she supposed to be likable? You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, she's always been a little phony to me. She's always been like, that kind of chick, right? This is not new information.
No, it's
she
not wasn't like thing.
Your best friend.
No.
Right. She was always nasty, you know, just a bad bitch. And so I think it's just overkill, and I don't like it because this is how people like it's just so hypocritical because we always like the same thing that they're talking about. They're doing to Tyra. Like, what about her mental health? What about her as a person? All of y'all jumping on her, right? Like, y'all are tearing this person down, but then y'all literally doing America's Next Top Version as a media. Y'all doing the same thing y'all accusing her of doing, but using the media to do it, to make her talk about her day in and day out. Like, I've never, and they've been doing this for years. And so for this to be, like you said, this has been going on since the 2020 rewatch everybody was doing. And so to come back 6 years later and just dogpile her like this, but with this some kind of sense of, you know, like this is a correction to the behaviors of what America's Next Top Model did to those people. But what about what y'all doing to her now? This is the same bully behavior. Y'all are bullies. And I don't like it. I don't like it. And I'm not no big Tyra fan. I think I do like Tyra, but I'm saying, I don't think she did all that shit. She sure did. But okay, so to fix that means jump on her about a show from 20 years ago that y'all all watched, that y'all created 20 versions across the world, that had 24 seasons, that those three people that y'all uplifted to tell their story was on 18 of the damn seasons, and they just as guilty as she is. And like you said, Zeus Network, the Baddies, the Love and Hip Hop franchise. We don't even know what American Idol. Let's knock on American Idol door and see some of their horror stories about how some of them, the girl, she won American Idol and she's singing in Manhattan at the train station for nickels and pennies.
Right.
Go find out what her story and what Simon Cowell was doing to some of them people. Since y'all want to talk about American Next Top Model, let's go to American Idol. Let's go tear Ken down, the white man Ken and Simon Cowell and Paula Abdul. Let's go rip their asses up, if that's the case. Because Simon Cowell called them all kinds of names and stuff and harassed them and stuff. And some of them are like dirt poor.
Right.
Off of American Idol.
But they don't care about that. Because I think it's the little bit of green of it. She's this.
Right,
she's
to tear a pretty girl down.
Yep, tear a pretty girl. A pretty black woman down that still look good. Tear her down. You know, she never had no scandal. Oh, no, fuck that bitch. I don't like her anyway. Da-da-da-da. She thinks she... But, you know, smack a bitch and spit on her face on Baddies. Yeah, I can't get enough of that. People my age, I be sitting up there watching. I can't. Oh, y'all ain't got a problem with that? Yeah, miss me.
Basketball wives. Selective outrage. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because we ain't nobody. Jackie sit up there on a House of Villains with Tiffany, New York Pollard. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no outrage about that. She shouldn't be on another reality show. She should. Y'all ain't saying nothing about that. She punched her daughter on national television.
Right. It gets no worse than that.
And she gets to go on another show. Right. She gets a whole nother check. And it gets to be considered a villain. And she could keep on coming back on that show. That could be her next lick. And y'all don't have nothing to say about that. That don't matter. But fuck Tyra.
Yeah.
You know, tall, beautiful bitch. Right. Girl, bye.
Leave Tyra Banks alone, y'all. It ain't that serious. It is serious, the things that happen.
Yes.
And I think all of those things should have been held in court, if that's the case. Other than that, leave her alone. You know, period. I'm tired of saying it.
That's the same. Get off my For You page.
Yeah, our tunnel vision as a society is just annoying. But it, like I said, it's been interesting. I've seen some of the reenactments. You know that one guy that always do the reenactments, like the black movies and Lifetime movies and stuff? The BTJ, Nada, something like that.
Oh, yeah, I seen his.
Mm-hmm. You see him, he redid Tyra. Yeah. She's like, go to the next question. Anyway, cycle 25 coming, y'all. Okay, are we done here? Let's wrap this up.
Okay.
And I'm like, she probably is like that. Like, I'm not saying she's probably not like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's Tyra. Like, I think Tyra's always, I mean, especially after I guess I shouldn't say this is my girl, but what she did to Naomi or her own Dak talk show. Like how the way she set
that
up.
Oh, that was so funny.
Yeah, didn't have an audience, so they couldn't respond. So like, she thought she was gonna really like tear her down, and Naomi was like, "Bitch, no, I got you, bitch. You're not about to come and do me, bitch. Try another, bitch. Because you're not about to do this to me." So yeah, I mean, you know, how soon we forget.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess next we can go into the topic of today's show. I guess the question of the show would be, or like what I want to know is like a check-in with millennials and all, you know, all different generations can, you know, chime in, but I'm a millennial. Tyreek and I are both millennials. So
I could have sworn you would be a different.
Oh, please. No, we're not. There's no way you could try that. 84 and 85 are not different. Regardless of how they be trying to split it up, they're in the same. They're both millennials. But anyway, so it's a millennial check-in just to see if millennials are okay, because, you know, we've just been through so much. All the generations have, but millennials, we've been through a lot. And we just keep moving through and keep on going. And we've been through a lot of things. And this was one guy was talking about it on TikTok. And then I have a clip of Bevy Smith. Now, I ended with Baby Smith for a reason, because hers kind of ends on a lighter note, but and his is not like, we ain't gonna bust out and start crying like that, but it's just hers ends more positive. And then once it's like 4 minutes long, I know TikTok people, y'all, that's damn near a YouTube video for y'all, but it's only 4 minutes. I know that's a long time, but it's engaging. I promise you, you won't get bored, you won't fall asleep. So here we go.
Hold on. All right, so I'm back in the office, and I'm talking to one of my coworkers, and this was like the first conversation we've had since getting back from most people's holiday break, and he had asked me about, like, you know, what I ended up doing, and I asked him what he ended up doing, and we both just came to the realization, that nobody is okay right now. Like, we're all just operating like everything is okay, but nothing is okay. Like that little dog, that little meme with the dog sitting at the table with a cup of coffee, and it's like the whole house is on fire around him, and he's like, I'm fine. Like, and we were talking about this because, like, he was like, his family and friends, they didn't really do anything big. I didn't really do anything for the holidays. I pretty much stayed at home and slept. I mean, I did go out like twice to like a function, but nothing major this year. Like, and I don't think anybody was on that type of time this year. People have less money to spend. And I think people are just like stressed the fuck out. The other thing he said that really like opened my mind to, because I had never thought about this before, for us that are millennials, and we've noticed like the families haven't been really like getting together like that. He was like, I think it's because we haven't realized that it's our time yet. And I was like, well, what do you mean by that? And he was like, our time as in like, it's time for us to take the lead. It's time for us to have things at our homes. But so many of us as millennials don't even have a home to have things at. You know what I mean? Like, we struggling. We are fucking struggling. Yeah, shit was crazy. It was a good conversation.
Happy New Year, y'all. Now, I have a confession to make. Since 2020, I've literally been hanging on by a string. Yes, I've done a lot of things. I actually put out a whole book. I did a TED Talk. I started acting. I've done a lot of things since 2020, but if I'm being honest, I've been hanging on by a string because a global pandemic changed my life, changed our lives. But how many of us don't even realize it? How many of us have never even reckoned with the idea that 2020 shifted something in all of us? And I don't know about you, but for me, that shift continued blow after blow, so much so that I lost myself. I've been doing things, but I've been sleepwalking. You understand what I mean? Do you feel that too? I'll just give you really brief. 2020, the global pandemic happens. My father dies of COVID in April. The pandemic is declared in March. My father dies the next month. Then I have my 92-year-old mom, who's a widow all of a sudden. And then in 2023, she has a debilitating stroke, which leaves me as her caregiver, along with my siblings, my nephews, my niece, and my brother-in-law. But she lives in my home. So that changes everything for me on so many different levels. It's the greatest honor of my life to be my mom's caregiver, but it changes me. In some ways, very good, but it also makes me very cautious, very scared. And I start living in a very kind of closed space. My mom dies in 2024. And I spend that time grieving my mom and my dad. And I'm still going through that grief. And I probably will always go through that grief for the rest of my life. But it shifted me. It changed me. But this year, I feel renewed. I'm renewed, y'all. I'm ready to dare to dream again. I'm ready to pursue my passions.
So, yeah. Wow.
That was a lot. That was a lot.
It was.
I think my first response to that, right, the millennials thing, and like we supposed to be leaders, you know, we're supposed to take over. Because I think about my mom, and I think about my aunts and my grandma, like, they were like, I feel like they were the last to know what, like, the family house was, or the family neighborhood, or, like, your last name meant something. And I'm not saying this has changed for a lot of people. I think, you know, I think about Kristen, and I think some people who still have that kind of tie to... But I think in general, right, as we can see, most of the world, or definitely the country, switched from that nuclear base, especially the Black family, right? The Black family, right, just that just wasn't it. I don't really know too many people that lived that kind of life, right? And I also feel like they were the last, when I think about my mom, they were the last one to have civil rights leaders and leaders. And I know we talked about this on a podcast a long time ago, but just so much shifted between what they had and what they had access to, and the imagery and stuff, to where when he was like, most of us don't have a home to go to. And I felt that because I think that's real. Like, where would we even start? Most of us are not even connected in a way for us to have a common goal or thing. And I think, and what I mean by that is that it's so much, right? I think that's the thing too. Like, we're living in so much day-to-day trauma. Like, this idea, I was talking to Kels, right? We're not okay. As much as we try to act like it, like, just the whole fact that all this going on in the world in America, and the world is focused on bullying Tyra Banks. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's just a distraction, but it's also, but that's the way we do things, right? And we're not okay. Like, sometimes I have to sit, think like, damn, like, I'm going through this at work. I'm going through this with what I see. I'm going through this about my rights. I'm going through this about, you know, HIV funding, Trump, you know, cut it all off, what it is to be Black, the immigration, just ICE and people getting killed, violence, just so much, right? And it don't really feel like there's any hope. I don't see any version of hope. Like, this idea, just get Trump out. Okay, but that's the hope? That's not a change, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I just felt like they had something to look forward to. Like, I feel like they were fighting for something. And I definitely think generations before us had it harder, right? Like, we got to this point where it's easier, but I felt like we at this threshold of, where is the hope? Where is the, like, just thinking about her, she said she feel renewed, and that's beautiful. Like, and I've said that too, but then I just hope she's able to keep that, because what is there to look forward to? On in a bigger scheme. I'm not saying you have to find it within yourself, but again, that's going back to that solo thing. Like, where's the nuclear collective healing hope? You know, it's pockets of it, but I just feel like it's just not there. Like, and then I was reading something about the millennials. Like, we're the first, what's crazy for us, we're the only generation that knows, you know, a dial-up phone and a cell phone. Like, we went through the most transformative time in the history of the world, right? We know all the old school. We know dial-up, while we also know having five screens hooked up together at the same time, right? We know the chat rooms and the phone line, the TikTok. We know both. Like, we got to experience all of that. Like, and so I feel like, with that being said, the millennials, yeah, I like, It's rough. What did you get out of that?
From the guy's video, I agree. We've talked about this offline. We're not passing the torch when it comes to any type of tradition. We are kind of just doing our own thing. I kind of talked about this, I think, a couple episodes again, too. Like, how, like, I'm starting to feel like I kind of want to go back to that because I feel like we are so separated, and we technically are. Like, Kempire, and shout out to Kempire, he on, what was it, Christmas Eve? And I think even on New Year's, he was, you know, he came online, and I appreciate him coming online because he was like, hey, if y'all are at home and y'all not going to see family, don't beat yourself up about it. He was like, if you're trying to keep your peace, then you're just going to stay at home and that feels more comfortable for you. I'm doing the same thing. I'm one of y'all. Don't feel bad about it. And I thought that was so sweet that he came online to do it, because I'm like, it's so many of us who did. You know, so many of us who just did not go, even though I went over y'all house, or y'all family's house on Christmas Eve. Yeah. Thank y'all for inviting me. But I'm just saying, but even on Christmas, it was just me. And then on New Year's, he did the same thing. And at home, I was at home on New Year's. I didn't do nothing. So, yeah, we're not upholding traditions. And I think it is like, we're the struggle we have the, and I hate to say, well, I don't want to say it's an excuse, but we do have that to say, okay, yeah, you know, we don't have as much money, or, you know, this is going on, this is going on, that's going on. But our ancestors, I mean, they was on plantations getting together. They was on plantations, right. Having celebrations on a plantation, singing songs and coming together and stuff like that. And so, and after being, you know, R-worded and beat on and all kinds of stuff. So I think we use that and we say that, but I don't know if that's a strong excuse considering what our ancestors went through and how they still managed to come together. Or even, you know, my mom and them coming up, it was six of them. My mom passed away, or my grandmother's passed away when she was, 17? So it was just them and my granddaddy. And they still managed to have times where they would come together, or they would still do stuff together, you know. And they had a part where time where they kind of went away. But then once, like, they start having kids, we start coming back, you know, they start coming back together again. And they still was doing stuff together. They were sisters and brothers. So they still kind of did stuff every now and again together. So, but I feel like we can't do it, or, you know. So I think, yes, the world is on fire, but I think that we're isolating, but isolating I don't think is effective, because like I think we do need, I think us having community would actually help. I don't know if the isolating thing is actually working, because it's like what going to what Bev said, like, you know, to be honest, I'm gonna be transparent, 2024, 2025, I was outside, but I was sleepwalking, and I ain't gonna make it seem like I didn't do nothing. But I definitely, the reason I wanted to play her video, because I definitely, that resonated with me, just because she was like, I'm renewed. And I'm like, I feel renewed this year. I feel like I was in, even during the pandemic, because during the pandemic, it was a bad time, but I still had motivation to want to do this. I wanted to do that. I still wanted to make stuff shake, even if it didn't work. And then in 2022, that kind of changed. So, and then 2023, yes, it changed. And then even coming out the end of 2023 and then 2024, 2025, I was sleepwalking. I'm just pacing, going like out, looking at this is materialistic, but you know, I like clothes. I like to shop. I like to do stuff. That's just me. It might be shallow, but that's what I like to do. But I looked at my closet and I gave a whole bunch of stuff away last year, but even still, I'm just like, this closet ain't even reflective of how it's not even reflective how I move. Like, I'm just looking at stuff like, and it's not that I don't like it. I'm just like, it's just not how I normally, I'm just like this, you know, when I'm going out, I be having struggles and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, cause I'm not moving like I am when I normally am with my closet and stuff. I'm not even into that like I'm supposed to be. At least I wasn't. So, I think all the things that we've gone through, millennials particularly, we've been through a lot. We've, you know, the technology revolution. Now we're going through the AI revolution. And then all the, you know, I was looking, it's a page dedicated to on Instagram dedicated to 9/11. And it was just showing all the pictures of before, after, during, all the different stuff. And I'm like, wow, that happened. Like, that happened while I was alive. And just to see, I try not to watch, like, the response of people, like, how they was running and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't like to look at that, but I'm just thinking, like, but the panic and just what we went through even as a country then, you know what I'm saying, to a point where, you know, I'm in school and class and in art class and I'm seeing a plane going in a building. And I'm just sitting there like, what's going on? By the time I got the third hour, they on the PA. Such and such is coming here. We have an overflowing of parents coming to the school to get their kids. Such and such, if you're, you know, come to the office. Such and such, come to the office. Such and such, come to the office. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, then I guess I need to go home. That's exactly how I was thinking, because I was just like, what is really going on? And when I went home, my auntie called me, did you go home? They're like, yes, I'm home, because you see what's right. going on. Yes, I do. That was a very serious situation. It's just like, we just kind of went through it. The pandemic happened. We just kind of went through it. George Floyd happened. We just kind of went through it. Like, we just keep, it's weird.
Y2K.
Y2K. Yeah. Just happened. Yeah, we're just kind of just moving on along. We just keep moving on along. And it's like, but we're not checking. I mean, are we? Maybe some of us are. But are we truly checking in with ourselves to see if we truly are okay? And, you know, are we okay? Like, are we okay? And then are we even trying to do anything to fix it? Or are we just kind of self-isolating and saying that's the best thing to do? That's all we know how to do, when we really should be coming together and as a community or as a family or as a chosen family or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think the short answer is no, right? I don't think most of us could be okay. It's just the country is on fire. The world is on fire. And it's really, and I think it's going to have to burn down until we see some, and this is from a bigger perspective, right?
Yeah.
Until we see some actual change. But I think on a smaller level, like, you still got to take care of yourself through that, through the fire, right? Through the storm, through the rain. You still got to prioritize. And I think you're right, like, making sure that we, like, it's not enough just to say the world is on fire, but do nothing to make sure that you don't get burned, right? Like, right. It's like, you gotta, we get, it's true. So what is your shelter? What is your comfort? What is your safety plan? What is your social plan? How are you going to get through? You know, you're not going to let this fire take you out. And I think it's easier said than done, but I think this topic, bringing this up, will hopefully wake some people up to realize, like, hey, what, you know, am I sleepwalking, or am I preparing, or am I setting myself up for healing? Am I, you know, whether it's therapy, whether it's community, whether it's writing, whether it's, you know, going in that closet and making sure the world's on fire. You might not even be going outside, but, you know, your house is clean. I always think about that. Like, I make sure my house is clean. Like, I could be sick as dog, and the world could be on fire. But when I come in the living room or the kitchen, I can't speak for my bedroom closet. I did that sometimes. It's off the hook. But my, you know, common areas, like, I feel like that's something I give myself. Like, the peace, like, that's a peace offering that I give myself, even if, you know, bills are stacking up, the job is going crazy, relationships is, you know, people running my blood pressure up and stuff like that. But I give myself a clean place to dwell, right? Whatever that is, like you said about your closet, maybe, you know, you go in there and you can just, you know, go through the hangers and give yourself and make yourself feel good about, you know, something that's yours, something that you invested in, something that gives you a sense of a hope. Because we know it's lacking, you know, as a collective, but I think it is going to take, we can't settle. I think it's good to acknowledge and have these conversations around, you know, where we are as a millennials, but it also moves the needle forward, right? Like, I think all these think pieces and conversations, that's why both of those videos were good, because it addressed it, then it allows us to talk about it. And hopefully anybody listening to this can check in with themselves, right? And see what they could do to make sure why the world is on fire. I'm just repeating myself, but I guess I want to just land this home that they are finding their joy and those things to be hopeful for, who to go to if you really need to talk, right? Like, you don't got to talk to them every day. It ain't got to be somebody you key with. But, you know, if you come to the dark, you having a dark day, who is your go-to person? Think about that. And if you don't have that, maybe you should be kind of thinking, you know, maybe reach out to somebody like, hey, you know, I might hit you up sometimes just to talk. Is that okay? Right? You know, like, that's the safety plan for when something goes, you know, it could be another snow apocalypse. Who is, where you going to go? Who you going to go to? You isolate yourself. Do you have a plan if the world is on fire and your building is on fire, your house on fire? Where are you driving to?
Right.
Right. And so I think all of that is really, really important. It's even making me think about it as we, you know, talking about it, about our plan, our safety plan, or our hope, our checking in, our renewedness, sense of renewal.
And I think another thing too that is big on the internet, and or well, I just use the internet because that's our social medium, right? You know, that's how we kind of all stay connected. Is, I mean, because we don't call each other on the phone no more, like that. Right. So it's either text or you on social media, you DM and all that stuff. But well, some people, not necessarily me, but anyway, that whole, and this is an Aquarius. I'm an Aquarius. So I'm saying this, but that whole, you know, I'm cutting people off and I'm cutting people. I'm done. I'm cutting. It's like, that seemed like that's the new thing to do. It makes it seem like that's a flex. And I think we should start checking that. Yes, you definitely cut people off who are not like an asset in your life. And they're like a liability. They drag you down. They mean you no well, you know, they mean you no well at all. So yes, you get rid of those people. But I just to say, I'm just, again, this whole isolating thing, I just got rid of everybody. Da, 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 da. I'm like, no, we can't be like that, because if something like happens, we need to know, like you said, we need to have you, where are you going to go if we have a situation like a snowpocalypse or Armageddon or stuff like that? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to get with? You know what I'm saying? Where's your safety space? Do you have, you know what I'm saying? Where are we all meeting up? Who are you going to go to? Like, even last time it snowed and all these people, a lot of people, specifically women, you know, a lot of them, I'm just tired. I got to snow all this, you know, shovel all this snow and stuff like this. And, you know, I don't have no man and da, 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 da. And I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, that's sometimes it's just, you know, the way the cookie crumble. But are you one of the people, I don't need this, I don't need that, I need this? Or, you know what I'm saying? Or do you want somebody to help you around the house with stuff? It's okay if you want somebody there to help you around the house to share chores with, or help you shovel snow, or help you raise your kid, or, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing wrong with us having another person. I think we're just being indoctrinated to believe that everything is supposed to, everything is supposed to be on its own. Let's see if he comes back. I lost Tariq. Hopefully he'll come back. But hopefully, my point, I'm going to keep saying my point until he comes back. This whole thing of us saying that we don't need nobody, I think it's okay to say you don't need the people that, you know, are not beneficial in your life. But for the people who are, or I think you should be open to the possibility that there are people out there who can be beneficial to your life. It don't necessarily have to be a man. It could be a girlfriend or something like that. Da, 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 da. But I just think if we are all by ourselves and we don't, you know, and we're going through all this stuff, the world is on fire and we're all by ourselves and we need to come together, who can we run to? Who are we going to run to? Okay, hold on. I got to fix this right quick. Just a second. Boom. Boom. Okay, I can hear you.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Well, I guess I was just saying that.
I just don't.
I finished out what I had to say, but I was just saying that we need each other and we need to stop saying we don't need people. We need some type of community because, like, how can I say this? If you're in a situation where, I mean, most of us are law-abiding citizens, but, you know, if you're in a situation where something might happen and you get locked up or something like that, like, do you have somebody you can call? And, you know, Or do you have a community of people that can help come together to help you if you need bail money to get you out? Because I've been hearing of some situations as of late, and this is going to sound bad, but where the money to get the person out, there's not even enough community to be able to get that money. You know what I'm saying? It's $500. They can't even get $500 together. Like, and I know that's a lot of money for in some cases, but in the grand scheme of things, you would think community people, $500, we can make that happen, especially when people be putting GoFundMes up and they be getting all kinds of stuff. Big Talk, they can get $500 in one live if they, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, this whole thing where we, community is helpful. Having people around to be able to help, it, and I'm saying this even to myself, we can't be so isolated where we just, you know, something happens or even you gotta go to the hospital or something like that, you don't got nobody to call. You know what I'm saying? Or you don't have nobody that can, hell, if you get your wisdom teeth pulled out, you don't have nobody who can come pick you up from the doctor's office, you know, after you get your wisdom teeth pulled out. You even got nobody who can take you home. I know a person who had, he had to get surgery. I don't know if he still has it, but he had cancer. And he had went to the doctor, and I might have told the story before, I think years ago, but I'm telling again. He went to the doctor and they was doing some procedures on him, and he went by himself. Something I would do. Just show up. Oh, yeah, I'm here. Da-da-da. They like, who's with you? He like, nobody's with me. I just came to myself. They was like, well, you need somebody with you because you need somebody to be able to take you home. He's like, oh, no, I'll be fine. I can take myself home. They was like, no, you can't take yourself home after this. We're not going to perform this procedure on you if you don't have anybody to take you home. So you need somebody to come up here to sit here to make sure we can release you to them to go home. And he was just like, well, I'll be fine. I don't need to nobody. They was like, no, you do. He was like, he was really going back and forth with them. And I'm just like, that's probably a lot of people because they, oh, I don't need nobody. Da, 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 da. You never know when you need somebody. So.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to kind of go back to what you were saying about, you know, cutting these, but you know, I cut that bitch off and stuff. And I'm good for protecting your energy. For protecting your energy. But I also think too, a part of healing is some of those relationships are salvageable. You know, they are fixable. There are we need to look at how things can get better, right? Again, looking for changing stuff. Like, again, everybody's not everybody's cup of tea, and maybe they're not a part of your tribe, but it's nothing wrong with forgiveness. It's nothing wrong with reconnecting with people. It's nothing wrong with, because, you know, we're in this whole cancel culture, right? And so I think it's important that you allow yourself that space. Because like you said, the person that you beefed out with could be the person that, you know, help you get out of jail or give you that ride or, you know, take you back from that anesthesia wear off. You just never know, right? And I mean, like, family relationships. I think we're just so degeneration. We're just so, I'm in therapy and I cut my family off. And I get it. Sometimes it's necessary. I'm not telling nobody to stay in anything unhealthy. But also, what are you doing to fix it, right? Like, is everybody that disposable? You know, and I think these family relationships need to be looked at. It's like, I get it. Like, we learning that you don't have to accept stuff. Right. You don't have to accept your family because that's your family. You don't have to accept things because that's the way it was. That's us. That's the millennials. We recognize that. We stand by that. But some of this stuff we have to fix. Like, that's not the end. That's not the end. Realizing you don't have to accept it. That means creating boundaries with people. That means doing things differently, having different expectations, showing up different for people. Don't overextend yourself to this person and all, you know, all these things. Don't be around that uncle that, you know, or that auntie. You know, you are in control, but it doesn't stop with the knowledge, right? Like, you have to actually do something with it, like move it forward, create a new family dynamic. Because if we're now going from horrible family dynamics to no family dynamics, then we didn't learn. We're not doing anything. You're not getting better because you don't have a family. That's lonely. We are a communal people, right? Just because you cut your family off don't mean you're better. You are in a state of trauma. Even with, it might be better because you are allowing yourself to have time to heal. That's what I'm saying. It's okay to cut them off at a certain point to find, you know, some space and some boundaries to work on yourself and see how you can show up for that relationship. But that's not the end goal. The end goal ain't for you to be beefed out with your whole family for the rest of your life because you're not going to take it. You know, it's like, once y'all, it's as like you said, as millennials, that's one thing we can do. We can show our family, and it's not our labor to do the work for other people, but it is a communal obligation to figure out ways to make it work, right? And I think we're so stuck on that one piece, like we found the light. We don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. I don't have to go through that. You're right. We found that. We don't have to do that. But so educate the next people, right? Like right. Your kids should know their grandma and their uncle, their family. You know what I'm saying? They shouldn't, their only friends shouldn't be online. You know what I'm saying? Y'all should be going to, so I totally agree with that, because we're not completing the mission. We're getting all this information now, and we learning and seeing how life could be better, but we're not applying it for the long goal. It's short-term satisfaction, you know. But loneliness is not the answer. Like, right? Cutting everybody off is not it. So
out of hand with this whole no contact with y'all parents and stuff like that, though, because it was this girl on TikTok that went no contact with her mama, but she went no contact. See, you get people instantly take a mile. I think sometimes us millennials, we going a little too far with that whole no contact. I'm going no contact with my mama. I'm going no contact with my dad. You went no contact with your mama because you keep on getting pulled over. You keep on getting DUIs, and you keep going out getting drunk and getting DUIs. And your mama's like, no, you can't use my car no more. No, I'm not going to keep on paying for you and helping you buy all this liquor to be able to go to the club. I'm cutting you off. I'm cutting off certain things, which you can stay with me and you can get yourself together. But there's certain things I'm not going to do for you anymore because you are out of order. And you come on TikTok, I'm going no contact with my mama. I'm going no contact because I'm not gonna be dealing with this, and you're the problem. You know what I'm saying? So you know, that's another thing too. We just go on no contact, and it's like, you go, you know, y'all want to talk about accountability, talking about Tyra's not taking accountability. That's the new buzzword, accountability, accountability. Some of y'all, or us millennials, not me, but some millennials, y'all don't take accountability. And then y'all try to make it everybody else's fault, or you try to make everybody else the enemy because they're holding you accountable, and you make everybody else seem like it's something wrong with them when you're truly the problem. So, yeah, right. You got to watch that too.
Yeah, because this selective... You're taking this knowledge and using it in a way that benefits only you, right? Like it benefits you to no contact. Like you're doing something. But in the long run, well, you think it's only benefiting you. In the long run, you're probably doing them better. They probably don't want to deal with your ass either.
That mama was tired. She was like, well, girl, you gonna stay with your auntie. You can go ahead and stay over with her. I don't care if you leave at this point.
So, yeah, again, it's not about accepting the good, the old ways, but it's creating a new path, a renewal. I like that. But the renewal takes that work in between. You're not going to get there with all these buzz movements and these buzz words and these buzz actions. You know, what's cool, which you can make a video about, and, you know, no contact and holding accountability and, like as you said, it's just all these videos, and because we got to prepare for our next generation. You know, yeah. I think about my little nephew, and think about the ones behind us, because Z is off the hook, and I don't think they're going to be rooted. It's going to be pure chaos. It's just seems like chaos is going to be the norm.
Yeah,
and like chaos from the inside out. Not just in the world, right? The households.
Oh, absolutely. And they keep trying to make it a thing like, oh, well, it's so great that Generation Z isn't drinking like the millennials. Okay, but they got a whole different slew of issues that drink got nothing to do with drinking. Because some of the stuff that they do, we would never.
they probably need a drink.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, they probably do need to drink while they stay, and they don't drink. They probably need one, because some of the stuff that they be doing, I'm like, girl, what is really going on?
They still uptight.
Oh, yes. Yes. they don't know how to have fun. I was talking about, well, you know, and it was this one Gen Z girl that recently did a video. She was like, yeah, millennials are right. Their generation did have more fun, because I just look at us and we just sit around the house and, you know, we don't be doing anything. We're just on the internet all day, you know, not drinking. So it was like, y'all not going outside. Like, I don't know if that's really a good thing. So, yeah, we got to do better. Millennials, check in with yourselves. Make sure you take some time to self-reflect and check in and, you know, come out with some type of plan for a renewal of your own if you've been sleepwalking like myself and Bevy Smith.
I love that. Yes, yes. Sleepwalking.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the end of the episode today.
It is. But I got one more question. I just want to know what your thoughts is on Cardi. They said that her album is eligible for 5 million. She's about to go 5 times platinum. I mean, is that believable? I mean, am I missing something? You know, I know you don't talk about her, but I'm sorry. I just think, you know, this is the bull swanky I'll be talking about in the music industry. Because when I saw that, I'm like, she's about to go 5 times platinum with no single. How is that possible? How is that possible for you to have an album that went 5 times platinum and you don't have one single? You don't have one hit single from the album. I don't care what them songs that everybody know that song. Girl, it wasn't a hit. It wasn't no hit like that.
It wasn't a hit at all.
Right.
It's the no, which am I the drama? No, you no hit. I mean, it's all like, it's really sad. Like, it is really the downfall of the industry where you can manipulate something without, like, you don't even have to pretend not to have any receipts to back that up, right? Like, it's so matter-factored.
Yes.
That it's just, you know, and to even when you had other artists saying that you fake, your sales is made up, your $4.99, you know, cheaper than a hamburger, right? It's, but I don't know why they keep playing in her face. Like, at some point, like, just let it be. Like, why y'all keep trying to make it on paper where it's obviously not real? You know, like, I wouldn't, that's like somebody, like, say you're in a race, you know, and I'm doing the 5, you know, and I get a ride, it's, you know, I get off the side of the road, I lead a race and get a ride so I can cheat. I'm not going to go and be first place, right? Like, because I don't want to get caught, bitch, and be like, bitch, you was not, no, right. Let me get, like, 10. You know, let me sneak in there like number 10. Right. Like, why are you trying to make it so bigger than it is when it's so obviously it wasn't? Right? Like, she could have just kept it at double platinum. That's respectable. You know, you sold, you know, 199,000 copies. You went double platinum. That's respectable. Right? Like, that's, even though you didn't even go double platinum, but that's still believable. But to think you went 5 times platinum, where no song is even, I can't even name a song. And again, I don't have to know the artist, but a 5 million seller rap album, I would know a song.
I would know that same. I'm like, if that was happening, I would know. Like, it would be a song like, okay, yeah, music industry is not that niche. Where it's like, right. that kind of something like that can happen, and we just don't know. I guess it does happen with some, like some of these rappers, like singles, because you know, like we talked about that before, they singles be going 5-6 times. Yeah. But those songs be popular songs though. Like I at least know the song. Like, well, I know that song. I don't listen to it myself, but I heard it at the club, or I heard it somewhere, and I hear her at the club, I guess. But it's different because I'm like, I always hear it at the club, or I hear people down the street playing it. So. Yeah, you know, that's just, I don't know. I just wanted to know your opinion about that. Us as millennials, Tariq and I, who used, you know, well, Tariq still does, but we both at one time, you know, really followed the music industry and the charts and numbers and stuff like that. To see what's happening now is just, it's a joke.
It's so fake. It's I can't even, she disgusts me. She really does.
On that note, make sure that y'all are listening. If you're listening to us, make sure you leave a comment and chime in and let us know. Are you okay? If you're a millennial, then chime in and let us know if you're okay or not okay. And if you're not okay, let us know what your plan is to be okay for your own renewal. If you're watching us on the YouTube, you can leave a comment and let us know what, you know, if you're okay or not okay. And make sure you like and make sure you subscribe. And subscribe, you can subscribe to the podcast too, either one. So you can listen to us, you know, while you're in the car, or you can watch us while you're home in the bed laying like Mariah Carey.
Holla, y'all.
Holler.